It's Six Rings and Football Things here on WEEI. I'm Tommy Freeze Pops, filling in for Andy Jumbo Hart and Fitzy. And I have my guy Ian Steele, another Emerson grad, sitting next to me, the Emerson Mafia, well represented on this podcast. We had his colleague from ABC6, Nick Coit, a couple of weeks ago. And now we got Ian. Ian, what's up, dude?
How's it going? You still call yourself Freeze Pops?
Yep.
That's with you wherever you go now.
You can't shake that. The guys call me Freeze Pops on this pod. So nice. Actually, it was almost like it just came to me as I started doing the beginning of this episode here. Like
it's part of
I was
going to
say Tom
now.
Carroll, but then it just came out.
Yeah. That's perfect.
It is what it is. So
we'll submit for the name change officially through the Commonwealth of Massachusetts or the state of Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Right. He's a Rhode Island guy, born and bred. When he dies, he'll be Rhode Island dead. So yeah, we're gonna head to the state house with Tommy Freeze Pops on the certificate.
Let's
soon.
Do it. I don't know if my wife would be pumped about that.
Mrs. Freeze Pops. Is she referred to as Mrs. Freeze Pops on the pod?
She is as of now. So here we go. Me and Mrs. Freeze Pops.
Shout out to Mrs. Freeze Pops.
We have to have a conversation tonight about a name change. But let's dive into camp. Obviously, you've been on the beat here for quite a few years. You started in, I believe, 2017.
Yep.
Covering the team for ABC6 down in Providence. So you got a good taste of the Belichick way, mm-hmm. and now you're getting a taste of the Mayo. And which, you know, no pun intended, I didn't mean that to be a food thing.
It's lunchtime, and I would love to get a sandwich, not going to lie.
Yep, there are Chick-fil-A sandwiches in the press box.
Work
I don't
first,
know that they have
second.
Mayo for the sandwiches, though. Are
no.
you cool with Chick-fil-A sauce?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah.
The garlic mayo, pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't mean for food pun there.
Pretty good.
So what are your overall thoughts on the differences between these regimes so far?
Well, I mean, the obvious, and I'm sure everyone has said this, is the media availabilities and the press conferences are much more forthcoming. There are anecdotes that you don't ask for mixed into answers to questions that you send out there. Today, Jerod Mayo was asked about a welcome to the NFL moment, and he put us in the throwback machine to a preseason game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he tackled Warrick Dunn in the open field. And now Belichick would do that maybe on Fridays and go down memory lane a little bit when he felt like it. But with Mayo, it's every day. Kind of, he'll give you something. I'm going to put together like a montage, and no one can steal this idea, but maybe at the end of training camp,
I'll bleep this out then.
Jerod Mayo out of context with his press conferences, because just sometimes he just takes twists and turns that you don't expect, and you just smile to yourself like this is the head coach of the Patriots. In terms of the way he's running things, all the drills are pretty much the same. You know, the structure of practice is still the same. He's still keeping traditions alive that Belichick kind of had when he was here. They did the rookie slip and slide yesterday, which they stopped doing last year for whatever reason. So the first and second year guys had to get hosed down before practice. You know, things like that, I mean, think about it. Mayo's only boss in professional football was Bill Belichick. You know, he had his college head coach and high school head coach that he probably, you know, pulls things from every now and then. But for decades, just like it was with us watching the team, he had Bill Belichick. So that type of stuff, the football structure is the same, but the personality, at least outwardly, is very different. And Mayo himself, he's even said a time or two that, like, Alex Van Pelt is the head coach of the offense, and we're seeing him kind of hang around the defense a lot until the team comes together for, like, offense versus defense stuff. So that's kind of interesting that he's outwardly divvying things up in that way, whereas, you know, last year and for 20-plus years before that, you knew that it was Belichick's show, and Mayo is kind of giving the guys that he put in place the power to kind of run their own thing a little bit. That's the main difference.
Yeah, and, you know, we have the coach of the Patriots on our station every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And today was Jerod Mayo's first Mayo Monday with the Greg Hill Show. And he was great.
Yeah.
And he opened the interview giving condolences to the producer, Chris Curtis, for his dog who had just passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
Bill Belichick's never going to do that, right? So it's just a new world. And will it translate into W's? I don't know.
Right.
We'll have to see. The old way worked for a long time.
Yeah.
And then it didn't. Mm-hmm. So was a change needed? That remains to be seen. And we'll see if this change in vibe turns into W's at some point. I don't know that it's going to happen this season.
Yeah.
You know, the over-under, I think, is still 4.5 for this team. That's probably the perfect number, right? You're going to end around 4 or 5, maybe 6 wins if they're really lucky. It's a tough schedule. So, you know, I don't know that fans should get, you know, the fire mayo signs written up here if they're not having a successful season and saying, oh, you know, we need to go back to the old way because look what Mayo's doing and they're not winning. It's not going to be an overnight thing.
No. That's clearly the plan, right? Like, the way the team has been constructed, the plan that they seem to have in place at the quarterback position and along the offensive line, the way that they're saving money right now to roll into future years where they can, you know, put together a big spending spree on free agents and continue to accumulate draft capital, trading Matthew Judon. And that's another thing, the difference between Belichick and Mayo right now is just like, the players feel empowered to speak their mind a little bit more. We saw that with Mayo, with Matthew Judon and his couple press conferences that he had before he got traded, you know, outwardly kind of voicing his displeasure with his contract. Devon Godchow did the same thing. And now, I mean, Matthew Judon's doing his media day today out in Atlanta as well. And he opened up about how, you know, he didn't sit down at the table with the Patriots. It was all through text messages and phone calls and things like that. Like, if Bill Belichick had traded Matthew Judon, I don't think a week later Matthew Judon's doing interviews talking about the process that Bill Belichick went through to either negotiate a contract or trade him. Like, Belichick's got, for lack of a better term, the skins on the walls and the Super Bowl rings to demand respect. Not that Matthew Judon doesn't respect Elliott Wolf or Jerod Mayo, but he definitely wouldn't air dirty laundry like that with Bill Belichick. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, and Judon is a guy that since he's been here, or was here, the years he was at Gillette, he was a guy that wasn't afraid to be vocal and put stuff out there on social and, oh, I'm recruiting this guy. And, you know, he was one of the more vocal guys that Belichick probably ever had.
Yeah.
But then Belichick leaves and he was like fully unleashed, right? So that's going to be something interesting to monitor here. And it seems like Mayo is the type of guy that embraces that. He's like, look, if a guy has something to say and doesn't agree with me, I expect him to voice that. And we don't need to agree. So it's going to be a really interesting thing to see as we move along here. If Mayo adapts and becomes more like Bill or becomes even looser, who knows? But you touched on the quarterback stuff.
Yeah.
I want to move there. Obviously, the story of the last 72 hours, 96 hours, whatever it's been, has been who is going to start week one. And Mayo opened that door in the postgame after Thursday night against the Eagles. He said it is not set in stone and that Drake May could win the starting job. He then said it again on the morning show. He said it again before practice today. The guy is keeping the door open here. What have you seen from the quarterbacks so far? And heading into week one, who would you start?
Week one, I think it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. Just based on what we've seen so far, Drake May in practice and in certain situations has only run with the second stringers with, you know, a few kind of piecemeal starters along the line. And he's starting to work with some of the top guys, but the plan, like what we've seen so far with this camp is that these Patriots are taking it so slow with everything. And if they have their way, Drake May doesn't see the field to start the season and maybe even to end the season. So I think Jacoby Brissett's going to be the starter, barring an injury. I think even if he like struggles in the third preseason game, they're still going to find a way to start Jacoby Brissett just because that's what they want to do. Now, I was thinking watching that preseason game against the Eagles that turnover that he had in the red zone, in the end zone, it was like, here we go again.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how many times did we see the awful, ugly turnover over the past few years? And that's what we saw again. Are you good here? Do you want to move?
We got the hammering going. No, okay. It's fine. It's all about the vibe here. They are building a set in front of us for a concert that's coming up here at Gillette. So, look, we're in the thick of it here.
That's right.
It's right after, it's right after practice, and we are banging out the pod. Look, I agree that all the signs are pointing towards Jacoby is going to be the starter. Mayo has been saying that the door is open.
Yeah.
But everything the they're doing.
The actions and the words.
They're not, they're not adding up.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I think what May had showed you on Thursday was really positive.
Yep.
And I think that throughout camp, he has looked better and better. He looked good again today, but it was a little bit of a slower practice. I wouldn't say that they necessarily were going full throttle today,
so
right?
I finished, you know, doing some of my work for the newscast tonight, and I came back out to practice, and they were doing Hail Mary drills. They were practicing throwing Hail Marys at half speed.
Yeah, it was weird.
They were jogging. It was like in slow motion. It was like the end of a cheesy sports movie with, you know, that da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And the ball just slowly thrown up there. It was like the scene from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when he throws the basketball shot and it just completely misses in slow motion. It was like that, but Hail Mary. So, yes, very slow practice. But again, even when they sped things up in the 2 minute, Drake May kind of fell off a little bit. And that's been his biggest thing, is running the 2 minute offense. And when things go awry or when the pressure's on, in practice anyways, how does he measure up with Jacoby Brissett? Because the way this team wants to play, it's going to be low-scoring games, close games, win with running and defense, and at the end of the game, if you need a comeback, can Drake May run the two-minute offense to perfection? That's the last, one of the last hurdles he needs to jump over, other than, of course, playing with the first stringers, which it seems like they're kind of dangling as a carrot, and then once he earns it, he'll be able to, he has to earn it first before he runs with the first stringers, not just, you know, willy-nilly, just go see what he can do here.
So you said Jacoby is likely going to be the starter. You think he's going to play most of the year. But what would you do? Like, if you were in charge, let's put the headset on.
Okay.
What would you do with Drake May with what you've seen so far? If you were the head coach of the Patriots, would you start him week one? How would your development plan, this development plan that has been cloak and dagger talked about by Mayo throughout camp, and he alluded a little bit to it today. He was like, virtual reality is a part of it. And
we have a plan, but I'm not going to tell you about it.
Yeah, he keeps saying stuff like that. It's like, I'd love to see this plan.
Right.
What would be your plan?
Well, if you draft a quarterback, or the philosophy always has been, you draft a player in the first round, he starts day one. If you draft a player in the first round and he can't start day one,
it's a problem.
Did you pick the right person?
Right.
And I think Drake May has what it takes to start in the league week one. I would play him. Get him the reps. It's going to be a lean year, whether it's Drake May or Jacoby Brissett playing quarterback. But if I'm running the Patriots, I'm starting him week one. And I think about, like, Jerod Mayo, Elliot Wolf. They were both here last year. They both have been here for the decline of the franchise, so to speak. Do you really want to do that again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. And if you're going to do it again, you at least need to have something that the team, the fan base, ownership can hang their hat on, look at, and say, there's our North Star. We're going to build around this. However, I don't think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I've said it before. Like, Elliot Wolf comes from Green Bay, where they had
the king of the quarterback incubator.
Right. Where those guys sat for a year beforehand. Aaron Rodgers sat behind
for Brett 3 years, I think.
Yep. Jordan Love sat behind Aaron Rodgers. The main difference, though, and this is kind of my issue with their plan, is that Jacoby Brissett is a pro. He's a very nice guy. He seems like he's doing all of the right things as it comes to the quarterback room and mentoring these young guys.
He ain't no Aaron Rodgers.
He's not Aaron Rodgers. And if you give him truth serum, or he might even come out and say, I'm sure he would, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, of
like
course.
Hall of Famer, you know, MVP of this league. Jacoby Brissett has none of that. So that's the biggest issue with this plan that they have. Like, if they went out and maybe got Kirk Cousins, I could understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the money they're trying to spend right now.
And I get that. I totally understand the bringing Jacoby in from a money perspective.
Yeah.
You're not going to overpay for Kirk Cousins. You know, if you were going to do that, then you weren't going to draft Drake May, number three overall.
Sure.
So I'm with you, and I said this to Andy yesterday. What is Drake May really getting out of sitting behind Jacoby Brissett for X amount of games?
The only thing is, like, not risking injury.
That's it.
And, you know, like, we've seen how quarterbacks can struggle here. You know? So there's maybe that skip that the ghost of Mac Jones a little bit, where, you know, he's throwing the ball directly into the other team's hands and he's under pressure and he just gets rattled and his head's spinning. And that goes back to the 2 minute thing that I noticed, where, you know, in the 2 minute offense, Drake May falls off. When he's under pressure in real games with high stakes, does he fall off? You know, he might be processing things at half speed in the Hail Mary drill, but when the bullets, quote unquote, are really flying, is he ready for that right now? It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, look, my thought is all experience is good experience.
Sure.
And if he gets rattled a little bit playing behind a bad offensive line and throws a bunch of interceptions, fine.
Right.
Like, it's not the end of the world. And you can't play football with the idea of, oh, I might get hurt. I get it. The offensive line is going to be crap.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. So go learn how to play behind the crap. And next year, when you got all this money and you have a top five pick and you got this, you know, generational talent coming out of LSU, maybe you can trade up.
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe you're going to be picking number one overall. Then things are going to be different moving forward. And then everything's going to slow down for you. And then you have X amount of games from your rookie season. You know, realistically, he's not going to play the entire year, right? But 10 games? Mm-hmm. Can we get double digits? I don't know. I'd like for him to do that. Then going into year two, you really know what you have, number one. You know, if you have to go out and get another quarterback high in the draft, maybe not with your first round pick, but third round, I don't know. That's what I would do. I think that's the smart thing to do here because, again, I don't know how much Drake May is truly benefiting with sitting behind Jacoby Brissett watching him play.
Yeah, I think I'm just interested to see how Jacoby Brissett bounces back in this third preseason game and with the next week of practice that they have here. Because, again, that turnover was so bad before hammer time started over here. I was saying that turnover in the end zone,
it was awful.
Was so bad. We've seen it so many times. And if that continues, and we were talking to Jacoby Brissett today, and he, with his chest, said today, I still view myself as the starter, despite Jerod Mayo opening things up a little bit. But if he continues to throw those picks like he did, and I know it's a preseason game, but it's a preseason game. Vanilla defenses against your vanilla offense.
And it wasn't the Eagles once.
Right, exactly. So if his play declines to a point where everyone is clamoring for Drake May more than they already are in the regular season with a tough schedule, I'm very interested to see how patient the Patriots can be in that scenario, if that comes to fruition, which it very well might. And that's going to be the first early test of this new regime is if things go south, Jacoby Brissett's turning the ball over, you're getting killed by San Francisco and Seattle and Cincinnati in the first few weeks. Do you just let it rip at that point? Because if you start 0-4, statistically speaking, right, like you're not going to make the playoffs anyway. Not that this is a playoff roster, but just the numbers bear out. Like, all right, we're not going anywhere anyways, so let's just do it here. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, and I also think the Kraft family doesn't want to have another final game of the year where 30,000 people come for Bill Belichick's final maybe coaching game ever.
I've never been more bored watching football.
What a horrible
game. I've never
game.
Been bored watching football until last year, period. But the Chargers 6-0 game,
ugh,
I can't do it again. I can't do it again.
I felt like a jackass watching that game.
Right. But,
yeah. I was like, what am I doing here?
Like, red zone, other options, go spend time with your family. Nope. 6-0 in the rain.
Give the people what they want. Give them Drake May. Do it. Right. They're not going to do it. But
they're not.
Maybe they will at some point, and it'll be great. All right, Ian, thank you for joining me, man. This was fun. We'll have you on again at some point when I get in the one chair here. And that six rings and football things for your Monday training camp edition, day 17 of training camp, I believe. And I think Jacoby Brissett said that it was sort of the end of training camp, right? Because they have an off day tomorrow.
Off day,
and then it's time for game prep, and they're maybe treating that like a normal game week, if you will. But
dress rehearsal.
There you go. There's still time left in the summer here for them to shake out the roster. So I think we're still going to call it training camp, even if they're not calling it training camp. I don't know. We'll figure out the verbiage. That's six rings in football things. I'm Tom Carroll. We'll talk to you guys later.